Good morning and welcome to The Extra on KRDO News Radio, show that connects you with the topics and issues and people that are important to you. Big, huge, important topic today. Lots of important people here today. I should just leave the room, everybody. November is National Adoption Month, a very important month. Joining us this morning from the Department of Health and Human Services, Children, Youth, and Family Services, Jill Bradley. Hello, Jill.
Good morning.
It's great to see you. Yvonne Saleta is here, Adoption Unit Manager. Hi, Yvonne.
Good morning.
And he is the Executive Director of Kids Crossing. Lee Osterly is here. Hi, Lee.
Good morning, Renee.
Thank you all for coming in. It is such an... We were talking out before we came into the studio. It is National Adoption Month, and I happen to share I'm adopted. And then guess what? Everybody starts talking about, well, oh, my husband is adopted, or I adopted a child, or it is such an important thing, isn't it? Adoption and helping kids and unite families. And so I'm so excited that everybody is here to talk about National Adoption Month. So let's start, you guys, with basically what National Adoption Month is about. Obviously, adopting. Right? Helping find homes for amazing children.
Yes. Well, we celebrate, we know that every child deserves a family, a forever family. And oftentimes it's our kin and kin-like families and foster families who are stepping up to do this. And so what we want to do is celebrate those people who have opened up their hearts and homes to children and taking them in to be their forever family.
Yeah.
And that's what this month is all about.
Is celebrating that and helping connect kids with families, right?
Yes.
And of course, we've had a whole show on foster month here in our area, and we know there's kind of a large number of kids that are in foster care, right? And kids that are looking for homes. So foster care kids and children that are actually looking to be adopted, looking for their forever family and home. Do we kind of know those numbers?
Sure, we do. And, you know, first and foremost, as we talked about in May, is that we want to put families back together. So we're always looking to reunify with biological family, whether that's mom, dad, aunt, uncle, grandma, grandpa. There are times where kids do need permanent homes. And so currently we have about 19 kids that we're actively recruiting adoptive homes for.
Oh, great. Okay.
They're, for whatever reason, could not return home.
Okay.
And so we work with a variety of agencies, much like Lee's agency, Kids Crossing. We also work with Wendy's Wonderful Kids and the Adoption Exchange.
Yeah. And so 19 kids currently in El Paso County
that
are looking for homes.
Yes.
Forever homes.
Forever homes.
That is amazing. And you guys are in the process. So I know there's a whole process, isn't there? Obviously, to if you're interested in adoption, starting that adoption process, how does that all begin?
Sure. So as far as adoption, you know, we want the families that desire to adopt to have that heart for adoption.
Absolutely.
It's a huge commitment. It's amazing, and it's a huge commitment. And then the process is pretty much the same as what we talked in foster care. They become licensed. They could come to one of our partner child placement agencies. We work with several in this community, Lee's being one of them, and go through the licensing process.
Okay.
And that's the background checks. It's the fingerprints that are included in background checks. There's a home study that's done to identify the strengths, the challenges, any areas of support, and to ensure that that family is willing and able and to become a licensed adoptive home.
And I think that I would assume that has that process changed over the years as far as adoptions go and becoming a family that can adopt?
You know, I think it has, in the sense of, I think it's tightened up. We use a very detailed home study tool that came out of the state of California that really allows us to dive into these families, get to know them, and really ensure that these kids that we're placing, that we're putting in these homes, that these are going to be safe and stable, healthy, healing homes for them.
Yeah. And again, but it's a very important process.
Absolutely.
Now, some folks might be wondering, okay, I would love the adoption to adopt. I would love to bring a child into our home and make them part of the family. But I think folks need to truly understand, Yvonne, don't they, that there are kids of all ages.
Absolutely.
That need homes.
Absolutely. It's not just the little babies who need homes.
But right.
But we have quite a few older youth and children who are looking for permanent homes as well.
Yeah.
And those homes are a little bit harder
to find.
Yeah.
Because the one thing I'm sure is hard, and Lee, you can touch on this too, is it's not, I'm sure, easy to see an older child age out of the system, right? And like turn 18 and then, okay, right? That can't be easy.
No, it's not. And I think that, something that's going on in our society is that kids that have families aren't leaving at 18 so much of the time, that they're staying home or they come back after college, but they have a place to go at Thanksgiving. They have a place to go at Christmas. They have somebody to call to find out about opening a checking account or how to deal with rent. And when kids age out of the system and don't have that support, it's not good.
No, I can't imagine it's easy for them, you know, and we want to make sure that they have the best start to their adult life. Absolutely. Okay, so what we're going to do is we are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to learn more about the adoption process, how you can get more information, and a lot more. We'll be back on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Good morning. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Very important topic this morning, National Adoption Month. Joining me from the Department of Human Services, Children, Youth, and Family Services, Jill Bradley, Yvonne Sledad. Thank you guys for coming in this morning. And the Executive Director of Kids Crossing, Lee Osterly, is here. You guys, thank you so much for coming in and talking about this important conversation. And we will talk numbers and stuff, but I kind of want to, and we've been talking about this kind of during the breaks, you know, again, all of us talking about, you know, we know somebody who has been adopted or we've adopted or something like that. And I think there's kind of, you know, some stuff that happened previously with adoptions, it was always closed, right? And not open, and you couldn't know this. And it's changed, hasn't it? The whole thought process behind adoptions has kind of changed, hasn't it? Of course, there's certain situations, right, Jill, that of course it has to remain closed and whatever. But really, this process has changed over the years and decades, hasn't it?
Yes, Renee, absolutely. I believe that in the past, it may have been more of a shameful situation or a situation where it just was not talked about for whatever the circumstances that brought that adoption to fruition. I believe that there has been community involvement. I believe that there's been much more acceptance and a desire to hear about these stories.
Yeah.
So we've had many, many people coming forward, sharing their stories, encouraging. I think seeing the openness and the desire for families to open their hearts and their homes to those that may not have been born to them and to take them in and provide them and love on them as if they had been is just an amazing thing to see. And I think people have wanted to be able to share that with each other.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that whole process.
And we've actually seen foster parents who have adopted take on the children's biological family, or at least some of them, as their own family.
Yeah, which I'm sure helps every and on all levels with those growing relationships. So let's talk about some of adoption numbers. We have numbers, is that right, over the last few years?
For the last 5 years. We have done 551 adoptions in El Paso County through child welfare. And of those, it's almost exactly half have been kin or kin-like families, and the other half have been foster parents.
That's incredible.
And even more proud, we have done 90 adoptions in the past 5 years of children 10 and older.
Oh, that's great. Yes. So are we seeing that number start to go up? Increasing kind of steadily?
It pretty much stays about the same, that number.
So still kind of a need, again, like we were talking about, of helping the older kids find their homes.
And it's never too late. We have actually done an adoption of an 18-year-old.
That's great.
Yeah.
See, that's very inspiring.
Yes.
Absolutely. So let's talk about, somebody is interested in, and they've been talking maybe about becoming a family that adopts. What kind of services does DHS provide these families? Because as we talked about, there's a certification process. They need to apply, go through the certification process. So what does DHS provide these families before adoption and after adoption?
Sure.
Because I'm sure the process, like we kind of, it's a big process.
It is. It's a big process. So, so when we get inquiries from families that would like to be an adoptive placement, we typically will talk to them about that it's a foster care situation first, that first and foremost we're looking to reunify, and if the child that's placed in your home needs a permanent placement and that's something that you desire, you can continue to take that step.
Okay.
We partner with our child placement agencies, Kids Crossing, as well as other agencies within the community that will license families as foster families and then potentially become that permanent.
Okay. Yeah.
We currently are, El Paso County is doing a targeted foster care recruitment county homes just for youth. It's a program that we are looking at helping our partnering agencies in the community to find those homes that are difficult for our teenagers that need those homes.
Mm.
Some may go to adoption. Some may be where we're able to reunify with the parents. So,
yeah.
And then again, the case will typically take on as long as the case needs to be open in order to try to facilitate reunification. And so the family is working with the child, maybe working with the biological family, making sure the child's getting to visits and things like that. And then if we see through concurrent planning at the Department of Human Services that this child's going to need a permanent home, then that's the direction that the agency that has that family licensed as well as the caseworker will take with that family. And then once it gets to that point, we have Yvonne's team that we then give the case to, and she and her team work with that family, do a more in-depth home study, look at supports, talk about post-adoption supports.
Okay.
And all of that.
Yeah. And again, but there, it sounds like there's a team of people.
Yes.
Helping these families through this process.
Yeah.
It's not like, hey, good luck. Of course not. Right?
Right.
Yeah. And I just want to make sure folks understand, I'm sure they do, but the difference between looking into foster care or adopting, they're both incredible options. And do a lot of foster, like you mentioned, a lot of foster families become adoptive families.
A lot of foster families become adoptive families. And when we're looking for permanence, we look for foster families. If it looks like this child is not going to be able to return home, we look for foster families who can be that adoptive family if the need arises.
Okay.
There's also a need for foster families that don't want to adopt or aren't able to adopt.
But help during this kind of process
where
you're still evaluating and seeing if returning the child to the home where they want everybody.
Right. We try to do as few moves as possible, though. So if the foster family can be an adoptive family, that's what we want to do.
Okay. You guys, we do need to take a quick news break. There's so much to talk about this morning, and we will have more. We're going to talk about Kids Crossing and, again, how you can get involved in this process. We've got a lot more coming up on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. It is National Adoption Month, and we are talking to some very important people this morning about foster care and adopting. Joining us from Department of Health and Human Services, Jill Bradley, Yvonne Sletta. Good morning.
Good morning.
And Executive Director of Kids Crossing, Lee Osterly, is here. Hi, Lee.
Good morning, Renee.
Thanks for coming in this morning.
Thank you.
So as we've talked about, Kids Crossing is one of those amazing organizations that works with the Department of Human Services in helping finding foster care parents for kids, also helping them find their homes. And this is, you've kind of evolved over the years, hasn't Kids Crossing?
That's correct.
So give us kind of a history, how Kids Crossing got started, and kind of how you've evolved. Because I think more of the, correct me if I'm wrong, focus for Kids Crossing is more the older kids.
Right. And I think in the more difficult to place, the more, you know, that we don't have homes for. We were founded in 1992 by foster parents, Jan and Larry Fabian. And they had a little girl that they took into their home when she was 4 months old. She had been shaken at 4 weeks old.
Oh, no.
She was the first documented case of shaken baby syndrome in the state of Colorado. And they were not receiving the funding, the support they needed for this little girl. So they started their own child placement agency.
Wow.
It's a private, nonprofit organization. Jan Fabian is still very much involved. Larry passed away. Mm-hmm. M. Punkin, was not supposed to.
And that was her name, Pumpkin.
Pumpkin was not supposed to make it to her first birthday, and she passed away at 24.
Wow.
So the agency really started with the idea of meeting a need that was not being met out there. So the original families we had were all families that worked with medical kids. But over the years, we have evolved, and we're very much about identifying the needs, finding out what's needed, and that's how we really got into working with teens, because there's just never been and there aren't enough foster homes, let alone homes that might adopt a teenager. We've also then worked with or finding families to work with sibling groups. One of the worst things that can happen is to have a sibling group split up when they come into foster care.
Oh, absolutely. And you want to keep them.
And we found that if those kids go to adoption, they are then adopted by different families and not as a sibling group. So we work very hard to keep them together from the very first placement. And then there's other kids, school age kids, that because of the trauma they've experienced, they may have some pretty severe behavioral problems. And so we find homes and work with those families and those kids as well.
But you guys have had some incredible successes and some amazing stories, haven't you?
Yes, I think that, because of the kids we take, because of the services we provide as a Medicaid agency in terms of doing therapy, we work very hard to get these kids back home to their parent or to a relative. And so when that can't happen, then again, as Yvonne stated, we look to that family first and see if they're willing to adopt. And some of my favorites have been kids that are 17, 18, that get adopted by their foster parents, or maybe if they're 18, there isn't a legal adoption. I've had kids say, that's just a piece of paper. You know, they're my family.
They're your family.
And so they become their forever family, even if there isn't a formal adoption often.
And if you could help explain to folks, again, that may be thinking about fostering, adopting, you know, adding maybe, a family unit, explain wraparound services so everybody understands that, because Kids Crossing is one of those organizations and agencies that does support the families from beginning to end and after. I mean, you are there supporting this entire family, the whole process.
And it's another example, again, of Kids Crossing looking to fill needs that aren't being met. So our foster parents were letting us know the frustration they had in terms of going to therapists in the community. So we started doing therapy ourselves. We now have a dozen clinicians. They're all trained in EMDR, eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. We have a neurofeedback therapist, but we have therapy that can work with these kids' trauma. We also have what we call in-home services, which are folks that can go into the home, whether it's the foster home or the biological parents, to help them and walk them through how to effectively help heal some of these kids.
Yeah, and help them be successful in life, absolutely.
And when we're meeting or working with these kids and their trauma, it only takes one meeting with the parents to figure out why these kids are going through what they're going through, because the parents went through their own trauma and haven't been treated, haven't had help with that. So when we're helping foster families work with these kids' behaviors and use a very formal approach in doing that, we also work with the bio parents then, so that when the child is going back home, that the parents have been supported and trained on these techniques as well. And then we do therapy with the bio parents too, to help them heal from their trauma.
Absolutely. And say someone, Lee, and you guys, Jill and Yvonne, you can hop in here too, but the continued support, I mean, it has to be critical, right? The
Absolutely.
Continued support mm-hmm. from DHS, from kids agencies like yours, Kids Crossing, that continued support. Because we were talking in the break, like, let's face it, back in the day, it was like, here's a kid, good luck, bye-bye, right? But that is not it at all. There are services, Lee, that you guys offer.
Right, and usually
continued
the services.
Continued support, DHS does,
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, and continued is an important word. It's not that we do services and then there's an adoption or the kids go
and
back
they,
home.
And you don't
and
talk to them ever again.
We continue to work with those families. And, we're very proud of the fact that we have a mobile crisis response team that are in-home workers that are on call 24/7, that families can call If they need somebody to come out, the worker will go out regardless of Tuesday morning at 6 o'clock or Saturday night at 11 o'clock. And we found that to be really critical. And we've heard from our families that that's been such an important part
The
support that we provide.
Absolutely. So what would you say, Lee, like since, you know, everything starts with foster care for Kids Crossing and then moves to the adoption process for a lot of these kids and families, but how many, say, would you say, of the kids that come to Kids Crossing end up actually going home after, because you talked about all the services you provide for the kids, for the biological families, how many kids would you say from Kids Crossing actually end up going back home?
It's well over 90%.
That's incredible.
And I think probably, again, for our agency, it's a little bit higher because we aren't looking for and really seeking out families that are going to adopt the younger children. So for us, adoptions are actually pretty rare. And again, something to celebrate for these kids and for these families. But our therapy, our in-home services, we're providing, like I said, those services to the families that we can get these kids back home. And once they're home, continue to work with them for that to be successful.
Right. But yeah, of course, there again, though, if a child can't be placed back home and helping them try and find, you had a, like you said, you've had an 18-year-old that was adopted.
Right.
And then you've had kids that, you know, they didn't file the paperwork with the state, you know, go to court, but that's my family.
Yeah.
And that's incredible.
My favorite story was one of our therapists working with a teen girl that had a failed adoption. So she had no family. Mm. She was turning 18. And the girl comes in and tells her therapist that she had put the therapist down as to come with her to like mom and daughter's night at graduation. And the school said, she's not your mother. She can't come. And that was the wrong therapist to do that to. But she ended up,
I was just like, no.
Right. So
but her therapist was like, I was like, oh, try again. Right.
Yeah. So that therapist came to me and said, I want to adopt her. And so, it's a very long, but very fun story. But, and I'm still friends with the girl on Facebook. She's not a girl anymore. She's a young woman.
Right.
But it's, you know, that kind of creativity. It's in terms of finding people, coaches, teachers, therapists that have worked with these kids that can, you know, that like teens and want to step up and help.
And help connect them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, and I agree with that. We have many kin-like families that have kids placed with them that are moving towards adoption, that it's the cheerleading coach. It's the, you know, the librarian. It's a teacher. It's somebody that had interacted with that child in their lifetime. That just has that bond and wants to take that step. So,
okay, so let's take a break. Let's talk about the steps. Let's talk about if folks are listening and they've been thinking about, okay, I do want to foster, or I do want to foster to adopt, and the process, how folks can get connected, ask questions. I know we've unpacked just a little portion of all the information, but we'll try and get folks connected so they can get more questions answered when we come back on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Important topic this morning because it is National Adoption Month, and some incredible people are in studio with this morning. Executive Director, Kids Crossing, Lee Osterly is here, and from Department of Health and Human Services, Yvonne Sletta, Jill Bradley are here. And we were talking in the break, you guys, there's misconceptions, aren't there, about who would make the ideal foster parent and who would make the adoptive family. What was perceived is before, like, oh, I'm just going to run through some of them. You guys tell me if I'm right or not. Have to be married, have to have a house with a big backyard.
Nope.
And I mean,
not correct.
Not correct at all.
Yes.
Right.
It's a myth.
It's all a myth.
Absolutely. I think when we're looking for foster and adoptive families, first and foremost, it's that desire to open up their homes. And it's the desire and understanding that they will need training and education and support, because the kids that will be coming into their home have experienced abuse and neglect. And that trauma, as Lee had spoke earlier, really plays out in a variety of behaviors that could then cause that family to question if this is really what they want to do. So they don't need to be married. They can be single. They can be in an apartment. They could be in a home. What we really want to see is that they have some natural supports of their own, and that they really thought about this decision, and that this is something they want to move towards.
And Lee, we were kind of talking about, you know, some of the possibilities for, you know, folks that might be great foster parents that could lead possibly to adoptive, as but as we've talked about, Kids Crossing is focused on getting kids back with their biological families. But we were kind of all talking about, like, first responders are great, teachers, coaches, you know, folks that Absolutely. Already interact with kids can, you know, or have had kids.
Yes.
Yeah. Be incredible foster parents.
Right. And I think that so many of those folks, they've already made a decision in their life based on their passion to work with teens, for example.
Yeah.
And they're doing that. And they may not know that this even exists in terms of a way to help a particular child, whether it's a child they've interacted with through their profession or their yeah. passion, or whether it's to step up and say, you know, I want to do this and let me know what children are out there that need
help and support in a home. Okay, so Yvonne, let's talk about this process. We've thrown a lot of information, and I know there's still a lot we could go over, but if somebody's been thinking about this, they would like to start that foster process, maybe head into the adoption process. Mm-hmm. What is the best way? Because as we've talked about, there is a process to this. What's the best way to get that started?
Oftentimes when I get those calls, I will let them know that we work with many child placement agencies right. in the area, and that I send them a link to the different placement agencies that we work with. And I talk about the training, the home study process, background checks, okay. all that sort of thing that they'll need to go through. And then I leave it up to the child placement agencies to give them their idea of what their program is about. And most of them have orientation meetings at the okay. child placement agencies. They also have an orientation at the Adoption Exchange, which is located in Aurora, but serves the whole state.
Wow. Okay.
And more recently, as I had shared earlier, we've begun to do some specific foster care recruitment for youth to help partner with our agencies in the yeah. community that do the same thing, because I think more minds at the table for these kiddos is best. And so we have an individual at the department, Jenny Swager, who is that point of contact.
Okay.
Her number is 444-5515. And again, we're still working collectively with our partnering agencies. So what she will do is talk to them about the relationships and the agencies in the community, send them to our website, which then has the list of all of them. And if they're and she'll spend a significant amount of time, which I think really helps them to then say, this is where we're looking. Maybe these are the ages. And she's able to say, okay, here's the list. These are the agencies we work with, such as Kids Crossing, that they do have some of our harder to place youth. So here, you may want to call them. Here's the other agencies that work together to support. So we don't just highlight one, but we'll tend to help them direct them. And then again, if they're looking at youth, we are beginning just a small targeted specific program to help partner and for some of our youth.
Yeah, absolutely.
The internet's really been a game changer in terms of to be able to get online at www.kidscrossing.com, for example. You know, there's information on there about the process. There's information about what we do. There's information about our clinical services. There's information. We have an open house. I think it's the first Tuesday of every month. Whether, you know, there's no pressure, no, just come and hear more about fostering, Absolutely. About adoption, about Kids Crossing. We have people, you know, ready to take a call and come to your home and talk to you. So they're, you know, again, through the department, through every child placement agency has a website. There's, you know, so when the agent DHS puts out, here are the child placement agencies we work with. I think there's even links to our websites.
There is.
On the El Paso County website.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So let's give out all those websites again. El Paso County's website to find all the links is elpasoco.com. Is that right?
Elpasoco.com.
Okay.
And then I believe if you do /foster care, you may get to the foster care and adoption page.
And then you can start that process. And Lee, go ahead and give a Kids Crossing. I think it's pretty easy, but yes, just so everybody has it.
It's www.kidscrossing.com.
You guys, thank you so much. I know we barely scratched the surface on this topic, but it's adoption month, everybody.
Yes.
Let's find 19 kids right now currently.
19 kids.
Looking for homes right now.
And yes, we probably will do 150 adoptions this year, complete 150 adoptions this year by the end of the year.
That's amazing. Yes. So if they want more information, mm-hmm, reach out.
Absolutely.
Yes. Thank you. Lee, Jill, Yvonne, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you
so much.
And coming up tomorrow on the Extra Business Edition right here on KRDO News Radio.